The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Let's pray together this morning. Father God, we thank you for today again, Lord. We just thank you for the chance, the opportunity, and Lord, the blessing it is to come to worship together, Father, to be in your presence for just a small time this morning. Father, we pray that you help us to make the most of this time, to intentionally come here, Father, to worship you, to glorify you, but Father, to walk out of this place different than we came in, ready to impact a world who desperately needs to hear you. Lord, we pray that you be with the words, the songs, every aspect of this service, Father, that you would do what only you can do in this time. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to see you guys, and man, I'm so glad. If you've never met me, I'm John. It's nice to meet you. And I do my best to stay still. Now, my wife's been giving me a hard time because I hurt my back, and so she's like, you have to stand still today. But I don't, and I can't, and so I'm not going to be able to stand real still. But I'm going to come here, and this may be my favorite spot to be. My wife also tells me I have an overactive imagination. Does anybody else suffer from that problem? No, man. Y'all are killing me. And hopefully this will never happen, but I'm going to tell you this story as my confession and my moment of embarrassment. My brothers love to give me a hard time. I have two older brothers. They both live in Florida still, and they love to give me a hard time because as a kid, my overactive imagination would run a little wild. I would do things like I would pretend that I was a cavalry person, and I would make my mom make me a costume, and I would run around our family farm fighting nobody at all, and my brothers just thought it was hilarious. I mean, I was 15 years old, not really, but they love to bring that up, and so if my brothers ever come here, I guarantee you'll hear that story, because my overactive imagination was just part of who I was. It crept into every area of my life. It even crept into when I read Scripture. When I read Scripture, I find myself playing parts. And I try to see, well, am I this person, or am I that person, or maybe I'm this person here. And so this morning, our Scripture is in 2 Kings chapter 4, and as I read through this, I found myself putting myself into the people in this Scripture and trying to play who I would be. If this was a play, if this was a movie, who would be cast in what parts? If you haven't heard my testimony, when I surrendered into ministry, I had two options. But I thought, one was I was either going to be a police officer because I love donuts, and so I was like, those two things have to go together, or I was going to be an actor because, again, my brothers told me that I had this overactive imagination, and I hated theater, but they just told me, like, that's what I had to do. And so I find myself playing through and thinking, well, if this was a movie, who would I be? How would this movie play out? Like, I love movies. I love, like, those things, and so that's kind of how my mind works. We're going to pause for a moment and read the Scripture, and I wanted to tell you that just so that as we read it, maybe you'll do the same thing. Maybe you'll start to see a character, and you'll say, that's me. I think I connect with that person, or I see myself being this person. And I want you to hold on to that for just a second as we read through it, and then we're going to look a little bit more at it. Again, it's 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says this, one day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband, your servant, is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me what you have in your house. Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elijah said to her, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the doors behind you. Pour the olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing her jars and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to her sons. "There aren't any more," they told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what's left over." As I read that story, getting ready for this, I would love to tell you guys, I wanted to be Elisha, right? You know, the man of God who like people come to and people seek out because like they've got such wisdom. And then I talked to my 5-year-old and she told me very quickly that I was not that person. And if I'm going to be honest and probably if you're going to be honest, that's the person we want to be, right? That's the Tom Cruise of the story. And I don't know, is Tom Cruise still like, no, he's not. Okay. Thank you. That's the star though, right? He's the hero. He's the one who we want to be. But then as you start to read it, most of us, even on our best days, we're probably not Elisha. So then I kept reading, and there's really only two other characters outside of that. There's the creditor, but he's really not in the scene. He's just kind of in the background. So then it's the sons and the mom. And so this morning, I wonder if you can agree with me that I'm not Elisha, and probably you aren't either. I wonder if some of us might be the sons. You say, well, how could we be the sons? They have one line. Yeah. See, the thing about the sons is this. They're in trouble, but you don't find them doing anything. They seem to be unconcerned with their condition. I wonder if a lot of us this morning know we're in trouble. Spiritually, you know you're in trouble. Your relationship with God isn't where it needs to be, and you know that. But you come here seemingly unconcerned with your condition. Well, if it's going to get fixed, it's going to have to be somebody else. Listen, if that church down there, if they're really concerned with my spiritual condition, they'll get a good pastor. Fingers crossed. Or if they're concerned, then they're going to do this for me. If they're really concerned with my spiritual condition, my parents will pray for me. Somebody will do something. It's somebody else's fight. It's not mine. See, I'm going to tell you that probably there have been times in my life where I was the son, or I was the sons. I could sense that things weren't right with me and God. I knew that my relationship with him wasn't what it needed to be, but I was seemingly unconcerned with my own condition and decided that it was somebody else's problem, not mine. Some of you may find yourselves being the moms this morning. And I know in today's world, that's probably a scary thing to say, but when I see the moms, I see that they see the problem and they've got to do something about it. I love a book and it's called Holy Discontent. The whole theme of the book is this: the world that should be, could be, if we will make it so. And how we can all look at the world, and I was talking to somebody the other day, they were talking about the Shreveport, right? Shreveport is how you say it. Okay. They were talking about the Shreveport news. I said, it's awful, man. It's crime, it's violence, it's everything. And I think all of us could probably sit in this room this morning and say, you know what? The world's not what it should be. But see, what I love about the mom is the mom identifies the problem, but she says there's got to be a solution. There's got to be something that can be done. I can't just sit and let this be how it is. So this morning, I hope that if you identify and you can say, hey, listen, that's me. I agree the world's not what it should be. Maybe my relationship with Christ isn't what it should be, but I want to fix it. Then 2022, I want to challenge you from this story with some things that I just found out from her as I read through this that challenged me and made me want to say, all right, hey, in 2022, this is what I'm going to expect. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be completely transparent with you. If you've gotten to know me much, I don't have a great poker face. And by that, what you see is what you get. If you don't like me, I'm really sorry. I'll apologize for it, but I can't really do a whole lot about it. But I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that really my hope and my prayer as I went through this is that as a church, we would accept this challenge. Yes, I'm concerned about you individually, but the reality is I'm concerned about us as a body. This is our church now. This is home for us. And I want to see God's absolute best for this church in the years to come. And the way that God's absolute best happens in this church is when we start to expect and give our absolute best to God. So a couple things as we're looking through this, just so you know where we're going. We're going to talk about some different things, and it's going to be personal. It's going to be you, but it's also going to be us as a body. The first thing that I noticed about the mom as I was reading through this in verse 1 is that she came to the right spot. Now, again, maybe this seems like it's preaching to the choir or whatever, but you're here, right? You know where to go. I mean, you're here on a cold Sunday morning. You could have come up with 1,000 reasons. There was no water this morning. I couldn't get showered. I couldn't be fresh. I couldn't go to church because of that. It was supposed to snow last night. In fact, I think I saw a snowflake on my car. The roads may be icy. I just don't know that going to church is the safest thing for me today. But you're not. You're here. And so you know where to go. And that's important because as 2022 comes in, it's important that you remember where to go. Now, granted, she came out of desperation. She didn't come because this was her free choice. She didn't come because she was excited to go see Elijah because she had all this stuff. She came to him the first time simply out of desperation. In 2022, some of you guys may come here on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night, completely out of desperation. You have no place else to go. You have no one else to turn to. You've tried everything. And out of pure desperation, you come. That's good. Come out of desperation. I also was intrigued, though, by this woman because she didn't just come out of desperation. As you read the end of the story and you go back to verse 7, it says that she went back to the man of God and told him what had happened. And now this part struck me a little hard. Because see, I'm real good about going to God out of desperation. Man, when I can't figure things out, when I try to put pieces of a puzzle together and it ends up a mess, I'm very quick to go to God and say, God, listen, I've messed this up royally. You've got to do something. I've tried everything. It's not good. You got to fix this. But where I'm quick to forget to go to God is after God blesses me. After God pours in and God does things in my life that only He can do, I find myself saying, okay, feel pretty good today. I think I'm all right. I don't need to go to God today. Michael, I can walk without a limp today. You know what, man? Like, I don't need God. I'm good with this. That's when I have a hard time going back to God, is after He pours blessing upon blessing upon blessing on my life. As an individual, as a church, I challenge you, yes, come here out of desperation. But man, if God's been good to you, if God's done something in your life, if God has given you something that you never could have ever imagined, don't forget to come. Don't forget to give Him praise for that. Don't forget to tell other people what God did in your life. Don't forget to tell each other what God's doing in your life. That's good. The second thing I noticed about this woman is this, is that there will be problems. Mandy, great. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books. I love that chapter. But how many of you are surprised to know that there is a time for everything? Life has good and life has bad. Anybody? No, that seems common sense, right? Like, yeah, we experience good and we experience bad, and it's just part of life. But I've been around church a while. This was the Christian box I grew up in. If you can't relate, then that's all right. This is for me. If I do good, then God blesses me, right? I'm going back. I know maybe you can't remember this far back, but if I have a test coming up in school, If I want to do good in this job interview, then what I do the week leading up to it is I make sure I read my Bible every day. I make sure I pray. That Sunday at church, I give a little bit more than just the 10% because I know what's coming up on the weekend. And so I'm going to do good all throughout the week, all throughout the week, all throughout the week in the hopes that God's going to do something good for me in return. That was the Christian life I grew up in. And it took me a while to learn that that's not the way God operates. For one, there's nothing I can do to earn his favor, to earn his love. Now, there are things that I need to do in order to give him glory. And that changes the trajectory of my life. But it's not at a goods of exchange. Another word in Ecclesiastes, Solomon also says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Listen, I know what is today, the 16th of January. I'm going to burst your bubble in 2022 already, 16 days into the new year. You're going to have some trouble this year. Oh, you guys knew that already. Okay, I'm sorry. It's going to happen. I remember 2020. 2020, I went to a conference called Passion in Atlanta, Georgia, and there were like college students galore all over the place, and they were talking about the roaring 20s and how the success of the 20s, and everybody was looking forward to 2020 because it was the roaring 20s again, and that was in January. And then March came, and I was like, this was not what was supposed to happen. The 20s were supposed to be awesome. They were exciting. There was so much energy and excitement going into them. And then trouble happened. Church, if you're not ready this morning, trouble's going to happen in 2022. It's not because you've done necessarily anything wrong, because you've done anything right. If you look, the woman is quick to point out, my husband was faithful to you. Trouble still came. Trouble still comes. Don't let it shake where you know you're supposed to go. Don't let it deter you from doing what you know you're supposed to do. Notice when trouble comes to this woman, even though she of all people could have gone and said, Elisha, my husband was faithful to you, this is not right. She doesn't. She simply goes and says, hey, listen, he was faithful to you, so I'm coming to you for help because I know this is where I need to go. The third thing about this is she comes with nothing. She comes empty. I would say probably this woman had an undesirable view of herself. When you read in verses 2 through 3, when she comes, Elijah asks her, what do you have in your house? She says, nothing except a flask of olive oil. Have y'all ever felt like nothing? You've got nothing to give? Listen, I want to do things. I want to make a difference. I want to do those things. Great. I'm so glad you're talking about that stuff. But man, I've got nothing. I'm just a little flask. Not only am I'm empty, man. I got nothing. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. There's nothing that I can do. She felt like she was absolutely nothing with nothing to offer, and there was nothing that God could do for or with her. 2022, maybe that's you this morning. It's been a hard 2 years. Some of you, it's been a hard 20 years, a hard 30 years, 40 years. And you came in this morning, you're like, great, another year. But God, there's nothing you can do. I'm empty, and I'm nothing. I want to challenge you with this morning. What does Elijah tell her to go get? Empty vessels. Wouldn't it have been easy for him to say, hey, listen, get vessels. If they're half full, if they're three quarters full, if they're already full, just go borrow those. I mean, that saves me a lot of time and effort and work. He says, go get every empty jar you can. See, God needed it to be empty so that this woman could see the miracle that happened. If it was half full, if it was three quarters, she could be an optimist or a pessimist. She could say the jar was half empty or half full when I started with it. And so really, it just changed a little bit. It didn't really do anything. See, this morning, God wants you to come empty. He wants you to come feeling like you have nothing to offer, because that's when he starts to pour into your life. And as he pours into your life, you start to see what once was empty being made full. A lot of you guys come and man, you may be empty. You may be like you have nothing. But God wants you to realize that God wants to use empty vessels. God's desire is to use empty vessels that feel they have nothing to do some amazing things in the world. If you keep reading and you get into verse 3, I always loved the fact that Elijah says this. He says, go to your neighbors, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. Bring as many as you can. That's the call. It's not to get just enough for the day. It's not just to get just enough for the week. It's, hey, listen, you go and you get as many as you can. Don't just get a few. Get every single jar, every vessel, everything you possibly can. Don't get a few. Get as many as you can. Our call is the same. What you expect God to do, he'll surpass. Another way of saying this would be, what do you expect when you come to church? What do you expect out of your Christian life? Is your Christian life something that, well, it's Sunday, I go to church, I get done with church, I go home. Every once in a while, they'll send a message and I'll pray for somebody. But that's really all I expect from this thing called Christianity. This idea of a relationship with God, it means I pray before my meals. It means I understand the real reason for Christmas and Easter. But that's about the extent of your Christian life. See, to me, that's not at all what Scripture tells us. Your Christian life is meant to impact the world. When you became a follower of Christ, when you developed this relationship, or when you accepted this relationship with God through Christ, what happened is God said, now you are my beacon. You are my light. I want to show the world what it's like to have a relationship with me through you. As a Christian, you are called to impact the world. I don't go someplace expecting to change Morningsport. We came here because I think God wants to change the world from Morningsport. I think God wants to impact America. I think God wants to impact Louisiana. I think God wants to impact China, Beirut, Lebanon. I think God wants to impact the world from this room. If not, I'll be honest, I wouldn't have come here if I didn't believe that. I think God can impact the world from this room. The question becomes, what are we preparing for? Are you preparing for God to impact the world? Do you come in? Do you walk through those doors on Sunday? Do you come to your pew? Do you sit down? Do you say, man, today is going to be remarkable. God is going to do something in my life today that he's never done before. And today is going to be the change that I've been waiting for years. Today, I'm going to get to meet and have a conversation with and engage and encounter my risen Savior who loved me, who died on a cross for me so that I could have a relationship with God. He's living inside of me. I get to sit here and do that today. Or do you come in, walk down the pew, find your pew, sit in your spot, say, got about 10 minutes left, sir. we could get this show on the road, NFL is on today. What you prepare for is what God's going to do. See, Elijah said, listen, don't just get a few. Don't just get what you think you need. You get as many as you possibly can. Church, in 2022, don't just get a few. Listen, if I can beg you anything, Michael, I don't know if I can do this or not. If I can't, just tell me. I'm going to step down here for a second. I'm begging y'all. When you walk through those doors, when you walk through these doors, and you come and you find your spot, you expect this is going to be unlike any Sunday I've ever been to before. When I come in here on Wednesday nights, when I go to Team Kid, when I go to Team Kid, man, I'm walking into Team Kid, and God's going to do something remarkable in one of these little guys' lives. I'm going to get to witness God do something amazing in somebody's life today. And you expect it. You prepare for it. You plan for it. As I'm walking back up, which this may take a second because apparently I'm slow. Anybody ever counted the parking spaces in our parking lot? If you get a chance, count the parking spaces in our parking lot. Start to pray that one day these parking spaces won't be enough. Start to count the number of workers in Team Kid. One day these workers won't be enough. Because God's going to do remarkable things. Because we've prepared for it. We've planned for it. And in 2022, we haven't just brought a few jars. We got a lot of jars. We got everything we could imagine, and we put it all in and said, God, do something amazing in this. And because his people have been faithful to prepare for his blessing, he's going to go over and above what we could ever imagine. That's what happens in the story. If you read and you continue reading, it says in verse 7, when she had him, she went back and told the man of God what happened. Sell it, pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on what's left over. I wonder at that moment if the woman had the question, the thought, what if I would have gotten more? If you read back and you notice, when did the olive oil stop flowing from the flask? When the last jar was full to the brim. Listen, if I'm putting myself in her spot, I'm having a moment where I sit and I say, oh man, what if I would have gotten just one more jar? What if I would have gotten five more jars? I would have seen this flask just keep pouring and pouring and pouring until those five more were full. Until all of them were full. See, what happens is God goes, and he doesn't just give her enough. He gives her more than enough. He goes until every jar is full. This morning, church, I have to tell you, there's only one thing that limits God's blessings. It's your faith. What you expect from God is the only thing that can limit his blessings on your life. Now, this isn't, please understand, I'm not a name it, claim it kind of guy. I'm not telling you that if you believe in a nice new Mercedes-Benz, when you walk outside, there's going to be a nice new Mercedes-Benz with your name on it, because I think we've all seen that trouble comes. But what I will tell you is this. If you expect God to do nothing, you never look for God to do anything. You never trust him to move you in a position where he can do something. And the only thing that limits what God can do in your life is your faith. If this woman would have gotten five more jars, that little flask would have kept pouring until five more jars were full. What you expect from God is a direct parallel for what he can and will do in and through you. And when we started this, I told you that my overactive imagination made me find different people in this and kind of put myself in their shoes. So who are you this morning? Are you the son? The sons? You're aware of your spiritual condition. You know things aren't right with you and God. They haven't been right in a while, and that 10 minutes that I've talked about is almost over, and you're like, thank you. Just have him shut up. Because you're seemingly unconcerned with your own condition. This morning, if that's you, I pray that you realize that you have a part to play in this. See, because while the sons did what they were told, they witnessed the miracle. They'll never understand the miracle the way the mother understood the miracle. See, as a son, you may come in here and you'll watch things happen in church. You'll watch things happen in people's lives. And you'll see it and you'll witness it. But you'll never have the connection. You'll never have that firsthand faith that mother had. You're always going to watch somebody else's faith and marvel at it. Are you the mother this morning? Do you know where to go? You know the right things to do. You know where to come when things get tough, when things are hard, when things are good. You know to come to church. And so you're here. My question is, how do you see yourself? What do you expect God can do through your life? I told you I was going to be honest with you. So I got to be honest with you. You've been here a week and a half, something like that. You know how many people I've heard this idea, this statement come from? More sports, just we're a small little place. The church is just a small little church. People here are just small, ordinary people. Can I tell you something real quick? God loves to take ordinary and make it extraordinary. This morning, you may have walked in these doors feeling empty, feeling like you had nothing. My challenge and my prayer for you is that you see what God can do when you give him your life. This isn't just that first time decision. This is a daily thing that says, God, I'm going to wake up this morning and I know you want me to impact the world today. And so somehow today, you give me the opportunity. God, give me the nations because I want them. I want to impact the world for you today. What do you expect God to do? Better question, what are you preparing for God to do? In your life, are you preparing for God to do anything? When you read your Bible in the morning, do you say, all right, well, here's what this says I'm supposed to read, so here it is, read that, check, I'm done. When you come to church, do you expect God to do anything, or do you expect it to just be another Sunday? To maybe get out 5 minutes late and then go home? Or do you expect every time you have the blessing, the opportunity to encounter God, he is going to change your life in a way like you could never imagine? And lastly, how are you limiting God this morning? Do you expect, and so you only get a few pots, you only get a few jars because, God, this is all I could get comfortably. If you can just take care of this, and God, listen, I know there's a world out there that needs you, and God, you want me to impact, and so if you'll fill this up, I'll go share this. That's good. I got a question for you. If I were to take this to a house fire, what good would that do? Probably not a lot. But if my faith caused me to go out and say, listen, this is what I've got to start with, but I'm going to prepare for God to do way more than this. I'm going to prepare for God to fill this and this pot 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 over here and that pot over there. And I'm going to expect God to impact this life. I'm going to expect God to impact this life and this life and this life. And so I may come with this, and this may be my starting spot, God, but I know you're going to do something all around me. Then you're going to put out a fire with a lot of pots. You get to be the vessel. I ask you who you were. If you're the son, if you're the mom, maybe this morning you just need to be the vessel. It's empty, that it gets to experience God's miracle in a way like you never thought possible. I pray that as an individual this morning, you'll expect God to do great things in your life this year. That you will plan for God to do great things in your life this year. That the spiritual boundaries that you've put up, you'll knock down. And you'll expect Him to do far more than you ever dreamed possible. I pray as a church, we expect God to do way more than we ever thought possible. That 2022 starts the mark of God going way beyond what we ever thought. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this story of this woman. Lord, she knew what to do. She knew where to go. But Father, there was still so much that we could learn from her. Lord, I pray that as we look towards this year and our personal life of faith and our life as a body of believers, that Lord, you will challenge us, that you will encourage us to go so far beyond what we could ever think or imagine. Lord, not to limit what you can do in our life, but Father, to go and prepare for things on a grander scale. Lord, I pray that you do what you can only do during this time. Challenge, convict, encourage us this morning. In your name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.